It did, but it was on. What is faith? Remember, key word, audience participation. Oh yeah, believe in something you can't see. So we couldn't see the money in his pocket, right? And I was thinking he even had a good play, because even if it was in his wallet, it was still true because it was in his pocket, because his wallet was in the pocket. Right? All right. What's another definition? What else you think it is? I guess you got it. Everybody agrees with you, Greg. That's the same thing. Okay. So, and faith is a challenging thing, but it's the most critical thing in our Christian walk. It's in fact, our entire salvation is based upon it. And so we need to have this faith. Well, I thought salvation was based on the fact that Jesus Christ died on the cross in place of our sins. Yeah, but why do you believe that? That's faith, right? Did you see it happen? No. Were you there? No. So you have to believe. And there was that short window of time when the world could actually physically see that event happen. And it was before the advent of any recording devices or anything like that. And so all we have is witnesses. Leading up to it, it was all foreseen in the future. Afterwards, it was all in the past, or it all has been in the past. But it all is based upon faith, either one direction or the other, upon that moment. And so as we're in the first letter to the church of Thessalonica, Paul is starting off. He's been the first two chapters, and including the first part of chapter 3, talking about this church. This church that he established and that he had to leave because he was ran out of town, and it continued to grow and flourish even though he wasn't there, even though there was great persecution upon them. And we can look at it as this is a good example of what a church should look like. And there's lots of things that he's talked about with leadership and with the people and the things that the church has been doing. And all of this kind of builds up to this last portion, chapter 3, and he's going to key in on their faith. The first 10 chapters of 1 Thessalonica chapter 3, 1 through 10, the first 10 chapters, he's going to mention faith 5 times. And it's so important to see how strong their faith was. And Paul wanted to make sure their faith remained strong. And he stressed it over and over again. He wanted them to strengthen their faith. He wanted them to know that their faith would stand against temptations. He received word that their faith and love was strong and how they tied together. And he comforted them with their faith. And he also wished to protect their faith. And so let's turn to chapter 3. Starting in verse 1, go through verse 10. And if you want, you can make note of every time this word faith comes out. Therefore, when we could no longer endure it, we thought it good to be left in Athens alone, and sent Timothy, our brother and minister of God and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and to encourage you concerning your faith, that no one should be shaken by these afflictions. For you yourself know that we were appointed to this. For in fact, we told you before when we were with you that we would suffer tribulation, just as it has happened, as you know. For this reason, when I could no longer endure it, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter had tempted you and our labor might be in vain. But now that Timothy has come to us from you and brought us good news of your faith and love, and that you have always had good remembrance of us, greatly desiring to see us as we also to see you. Therefore, brethren, in all of our affliction and distress, we were comforted concerning you by your faith. For now we live, if you stand fast in the Lord. For what thanks can we render to God for you, for all the joy with which we rejoice for your sake before our God, night and day praying exceedingly that we may see you face to face and perfect that which is lacking in your faith. Lord, we thank you for your word this morning, and indeed we're here this morning in faith. We come in faith to meet with you. We come in faith to hear from you. We come in faith that your word would have its work in us. And then when we would leave today, we would be strengthened in our faith. Lord, sometimes it's difficult and our faith lacks. And sometimes we really have a hard time. Sometimes, just like with the kids, our minds get in the way, and what we would deem as, you know, what makes sense to us isn't there, and so therefore it can't be. And sometimes that battles against our faith. But faith, it's believing and trusting even though we can't see. It's believing and trusting even though it's not tangible and we can't wrap our hands around it. But yet, since the world's creation, you have shown yourself faithful. And so, Lord, this morning as we're here and we go through these words, we ask in faith that your Holy Spirit would be our teacher and that you would move in us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Credible section. And so there's huge takeaway for us individually in this section. However you defined it, whether you all agreed with Greg and that's why you didn't say anything, or you just didn't want to say anything, whatever you were thinking faith was, today may it be encouraged, because I don't care how long you've been a Christian, I don't care how great you might be in your walk with God, there's going to be times where your faith struggles. It doesn't matter, because we all become weak. And so it's important for us to understand our faith isn't based upon ourselves, first and foremost. Our faith is based upon Him. And it's important that we have a strong faith. And a strong faith means that we honestly know Christ. And we know what it is to walk with Him. That we know what it is to trust in Him. That we know what it is to trust in His care and His comfort and His strength, and in Him guiding us through our lives. You see, a strong faith is needed to endure or stand fast. When you fall into temptation, it's because you are lacking in faith at that moment. So a strong faith helps us stand fast, endure, and it also preserves us. And through the process of all of this, every step of the way, every exercise of faith, our faith grows stronger. So faith is so important. The stronger our faith is, the more we believe, the more we can conquer in our spiritual life. The more we can even deal with this physical life. The more readily we are to jump at the things that we should be doing for God and to stay away from those things that we should not be doing for God. A strong faith in Christ helps us enable and triumph over trials and tribulations. And it helps us define our purpose in life. And so as we go through this section, really take it serious, because this is a great, excellent model of faith. Paul starts off in verse 1 and he says, "Therefore, when we could no longer endure it, we thought it good to be left alone in Athens." So remember, Paul is in Athens and he wanted to send somebody to the church in Thessalonica. But remember, when he was there, what happened? right? They came and they sought him out. He was causing great controversy just because of his presence there. And we've talked numerous times about why that was, right? He was teaching Jesus Christ and him crucified. It was going against the Jewish tradition, and it was also going against the Gentile tradition. It was going against certain ways of the people, certain beliefs of the people, and even certain kind of economical means of the city. There's profit in religion. Did you know that? There's a lot of profit in religion. And so when you start to oppose that, and how do you oppose it? You oppose it by saying, hey, listen, you don't need it. You don't need to follow all these rules. You don't need to be of a certain religion or a certain race. You don't have to be Jewish to go to heaven. You don't have to do all these things to these unknown gods. You don't have to have this list of I shall not and I shall, because grace is sufficient for salvation. That Jesus did it all. And that throws a wrench in a lot of the works of man. And so you can see how that opposes. What do you mean? What do you mean you don't need us anymore? What do you mean you don't need to be Jewish, or you don't need to go to the Greek temple and worship this goddess? What do you mean? It was against the way. And so not only was it against the people, but remember, it's so important, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against spirits and principalities. It is a spiritual warfare. When light came into the world, it came into darkness, and the darkness did not, cannot, will not comprehend it. I added a few words there. Darkness cannot comprehend the light. And whenever you get face to face with a non-believer and they are just agitated at you, and you for the life of you can't think of why, I never did anything, it's because of the light in you. You are the light of the world. And darkness cannot comprehend it. And we forget this so much, right? We take everything so personally, and me included, I do it a lot. Take everything so personally. I don't know why that person doesn't like me. I did nothing wrong. What's the problem here? Everything seems to be going against me. Yes, you're right. It is a spiritual battle. It is tough. And so Paul thought, you know what? If I go back to the church of Thessalonica, which I want to do, but if I go back, it may make things worse. Because remember, they were after Paul. They were trying to undermine him. They were trying to demean him. They were trying to ridicule him. False accusations, false things. Why? Because if they take down the pastor, they take down the church. If the leader falls, everybody underneath them falls. If this church was based and established under Paul, then if we can discredit him, then everything he has ever said and done is now discredited. That's why, church, it's so important. Listen to me. You don't understand it, but I hope you do after today, the value of protecting your leadership. It is huge. And you may think, oh, they got it all figured out. They have all the answers. They know what to do. They know their Bible cover to cover. They can flip out verses like this, man. They are like the most equipped. Yeah, we're also the most attacked. And it's huge. And Paul's like, you know what? I ain't going back there because it's going to hurt the church more. And so he sends Timothy. Verse 2, he sends Timothy, our brother and minister of God, and our fellow laborers. So he's kind of, again, remember, he creates this equality amongst the leadership. There's no, Paul is greater than Timothy. Paul is greater than Barnabas. None of that, right? Paul is greater than Silas. There's none of that. He's all, we're all in this together. Nobody is greater in God's kingdom. Nobody. He's not a respecter of persons. I mean, he puts people in different roles for different positions, yes, but it doesn't mean that he loves anybody or likes anybody any more than anyone else. God so loved the world that he gave his only son. So Timothy goes out there and he does what? He establishes you to build you up, right? To establish, to strengthen and to encourage you concerning what? Your faith. Your faith is what Paul wanted to strengthen. His heart was there, but he knew, I need to go and continue on in my work, but I'm going to send Timothy. You can also look at this word establish as the word support. But strengthen is a good way to see it. And then comfort means to exhort. It means to come alongside. Parakaleto, it means to come alongside. That's what the comforter does, by the way. It's the same verbiage. The Holy Spirit comes alongside and exhorts and encourages and keeps going. And sometimes when we're in the lowest of lows, the last thing we want to do is call somebody and tell somebody. Right? We all do this. You know, well, there's some people out there that like to tell the whole world, I stubbed my toe today on Facebook. Look at it. But for the most part, you know, we're going through a hard time and we zip it. But the church is there to come alongside you. Remember, we talked about it a few weeks ago. The church is only as strong as each individual Christian, and each individual Christian is only as strong as the church that it's a part of. It's a twofold kind of process. And so if you are weak, and if you are in a place of weakness and hurting and being discouraged and confusion and all this stuff, then you're not looking at what God has given you as the body for encouragement, and in your refusal to do so, you bring everybody down. Some of us are like, oh, I don't really care, whatever, right? But you should, because together we're strong. Well, I'm worried about if I go and say to so-and-so, then it's going to go over here and it's going over there and then everybody's going to talk about me. And one, that's pride because you're worried about what other people think of you, right? Seriously, if you really get to the root of it, if I'm so concerned about what Jason thinks of me, then that's pride, right? I'm having an ego. I'm edging God out, edging out what he can do. Also, that if I am doing that, then I'm not really looking at the church as my body. And so you do hurt it. And so this word support and encourage, we should be building upon each other. And if you don't feel comfortable sharing with them, that's okay. But try to find that person within the church that you can share with. That you can't. Now, I know a lot of people have been burned by other people in the church. They've shared, they've opened up, and then all of a sudden that's turned against them and things. And yeah, that's going to happen because that's the weakness and the sinfulness of mankind. But I guarantee you that if you find that person, look for that one person that you can lay into and really just let everything go, encourage and pray to them, and they can encourage you and you can encourage them. That is key. So important. So that's what Timothy was sent to do. And then verse 3, that no one but should be shaken by these afflictions. So now here's another important thing. Paul told them as he was being persecuted, hey, listen, you guys are going to get it. Persecution's going to come. Trials, tribulations, they're going to come. It's one of the problems I have with this whole prosperity gospel, because they're missing the big picture. The big picture, when I prosper in God, it is eternally, right? My prosper, my wealth, my inheritance is in the eternal. Jesus says right here in this Bible that here on earth, you're going to have tribulation. They persecuted me. He says they're going to persecute you. You're going to have a tough time. Why? Because we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. We wrestle against principalities, spirits, We are light. Darkness cannot comprehend it. When people oppose us, we shouldn't be going, wow, I just don't understand. You should understand. Because Paul told the church, you're going to be afflicted. The enemy wants nothing but to take you out. Why? Why does the, have you ever thought about why the enemy is so fervently on our tails? Because he wants to hurt God. And what's most precious to God? You are. Whoa. Maybe you never thought of it that way. But you are God's treasure. He sent his son to die for you. He loves you that much. He cares for you that much. And when the enemy comes and attacks you and you're suffering, it hurts God. And you might be thinking, well, why does God allow it? Well, that's a whole nother topic. But your faith needs to be in that God so loved you that he sent his only son. Have you ever, I don't know, done a race or done some kind of a contest or done something where the process to get to the finish line was just miserable? It's horrible, right? And it just didn't seem like if you're doing a race or if you're running or I don't know what it is, maybe you're doing a fast or whatever, and through the process you're just, I mean, it's the worst thing in the world. I'm never going to make it to the end. This is so hard. I can't do it. I don't think I'm going to make it, right? This is all that talk that happens inside of our minds. And you guys know what I'm talking about. You can apply it appropriately to your life situation that you've gone through. But what happens when you reach that point? When you cross that finish line, you go, I did it. And all that pain and all that suffering and all that trial that you went through to get there, it's all behind you. Now, through the process, even though it was horrible, what did you keep saying to yourself? It's right there. The end is right there. Every step I take is closer to the finish line. And I kept my eye on the prize. That's life right there, church. Because the finish line is God. And even though he is living with us today, and even though he is in us and helping us along the way, my faith is in that time when I stand face to face in front of God and he says, well done. And all those trials and all those tribulations, they are what? Behind you. And I believe that's part of the reason why there's not going to be any tears in heaven. No more sorrows in heaven, because it's back. It's done. So take away at least that today, that no matter what you're going through, you keep your eye forward. And yeah, maybe you can't even see the finish line. Maybe it's foggy. Maybe it's on the other side of the world, it seems like, and you can't even see it, but you know it's there. And you keep stepping, you keep driving, you keep going. Yesterday when I was teaching my fitness class, I made them do what I call a 300. And it's 100 push-ups, 100 burpees, and 100 air squats. And you do one after another. One air squat, one burpee, one push-up to 100. And now, just like this church here, I had so many different people, different shapes, different sizes, different ages, and they all did it. You know how they did it? One rep at a time. And when on rep one, 100 seems like a long way to go. Then you get to 10. Well, now I got 90 left. Now I got 80. Now I got 50. Now I got 10. I can't believe I did it. That's faith, church. That's our spiritual walk. One step, affliction after affliction. Look behind you in your life. Look at the afflictions that you have had to go through. Look at the trials, the tribulations, the things that you have had in your past. Guess what? You're still here. Did it work out the way you wanted it to work out? Probably not. But did you make it through? Yes. And even though you may not think so, it made you stronger. And if you have that perspective that God was with me, and even though I can't comprehend why I would put $3 in my pocket, not my wallet, I can't comprehend that. I can't comprehend why you'd even have $3. That didn't even buy you anything anymore. I can't comprehend it. It makes no sense to me. But I have faith and I have trust that if God said, this is what we're doing, it's what's best for me. Church, that's your spiritual walk right there, in a nutshell. And so they're having this affliction. And listen, here's a key word. I really want you to look at this in your Bible. It says, for you yourselves know that we are appointed. Appointed. So you have an appointment. Did you know that? So I had a doctor's appointment, and I had to be there at a certain time, certain place, right? An appointment. Your trials, your tribulations are appointed. Holy cow, are you kidding me? Now, why? Why? Now, let's go back to this. This is fun. This is on the fly here, right? What happened? I was cut by a knife. That sounds cool, huh? The doctor did it, though. It sounds cooler. It's like, I was cut by a knife. Rawr! And when they stuck all the needles in there, right, to quote-unquote numb it, that was like, can you numb me before you stick the needle into me? No, it doesn't work that way. And the numbing medication was burning and all this stuff. I had to go through some pain, and I'm having to go through pain now, and I have to have the stitches removed. So there's a procedure. Why? There's pain that you have to go through in order to, one, remove something from you, or to make you better. What's the difference in our spiritual walk? And so if God appoints us a trial and a tribulation, we have a choice. We can allow that appointment to defeat us, or we can allow that appointment to grow our faith. Now, a lot of people say, well, you have a lot of faith in me. Well, here's the cool part about God. One, he will never give you a trial or a temptation that he knows that will overtake you. God already knows you can deal with it, right? He already knows you can handle it. He's also given every person and every opportunity a way of escape. And third, in every trial and in every temptation, he is right there with you. It's not your strength. It's his. So now if you're putting me into battle and you give me a battle that I know, everybody knows I can win and I can have a way of escape, but also, you know what? We're going to a stick fight and I've got the U.S. Army at my back with their tanks and their guns and their missiles, and you got a stick, you better believe I can go into that fight confidently, correct? God's that army. God's the appointer of that trial and that tribulation. Now the challenge is to remember that as you go into your trial and tribulation. Because even me, often forget all that stuff. But every battle you stand in, what happens? your faith grows stronger. You are appointed. Verse 4, for in fact, we told you before when we were with you that we would suffer tribulation. So he's still building upon that theme. He's still saying, hey, you're appointed to it, and I told you you're going to have it. Listen, church, listen to me closely. As a Christian, you're going to have affliction. You're going to have tribulation. You're going to have people come against you, maybe even your own family. It's going to happen because it's a spiritual battle. Okay? So you would suffer tribulation just as it has happened, and you know. Verse 5, for this reason, when I could no longer endure it, I sent to know of your faith. He's like, hey, I know you're in trouble. I know things are going to come against you. I want to see how they're doing. How is their faith holding up? Lest by some means the tempter had tempted you and our labor might be in vain. All that stuff that he built up, all that time he invested was worthless if it wasn't actually put into practice. And sometimes that's the hard part, especially as a teacher, as we teach and we teach and we teach and the congregation listens and listens and listens and never puts it into any action. It's like, it's all in vain. But you know what? When we teach and we get feedback and goes, hey, listen, I put into practice what you said, and my gracious, I conquered it. Do you know what that does to the teachers? It does what it did to Paul. Paul's like, man, that's great. And it's not nothing that he did. Paul didn't do anything. It's God that does it all. Just the messenger. But it's important for us to see that faith demonstrated. Now check this out, verse 6. But now Timothy has come to us from you and brought us good news of your faith and love, and that you always have remembrance of us, greatly desiring to see us as we also to see you. So Timothy comes back with great word and says, hey, guess what? I have word of their testimony. Their testimony is their proof. Testimony is proof of your faith. Just like Dennis did with his example. He's like, well, why wouldn't you believe me? Have I ever lied to you? No. Have I ever misled you? No. Then why don't you believe what I say? And God doesn't lie to us. Now, sometimes, like I said before, it doesn't work out the way we think it should, but that's not God lying to you. That's God knowing the beginning from the end. That's God knowing the thoughts that he has towards you are good. They're not evil. Now, we are not God. We need to allow God to be God. And sometimes, church, even for me, that's the hardest part, isn't it? But if I were God, well, listen, if I were God, y'all would be in trouble. Right? That'd have been a good amen, Heidi, for you. So I'm like, yes, bring it. That'd have been bad. None of us can say that we know better than God. Just like those kids up here, you were laughing as they were questioning Dennis, right? Oh, silly children. You're questioning, oh, how cute that is. And it was kind of ridiculous with some of the things they were saying, correct? What do we say? Oh, you're just kids, you don't understand. But then we turn right around and we do it to God. And God's going, oh, you silly kids. You don't understand. It's kind of frustrating when you get a little older and you see your kids walk through their life and you begin to wonder why they don't listen to you. And it's like, you know, you should listen to me because if nobody's ever driven to Parker and you have driven to Parker, you kind of have knowledge of that road. And you can say, oh yeah, you go down there and, you know, watch out for the deer. Your deer like to cross right here. And, you know, oh, make sure you do this. And, you know, you're going to go here and you're going to make a right. And it's pretty easy for us because we have traveled that road. And some of us have traveled that road a lot. We could probably drive it with our eyes closed, right? Not literally, but you know what I'm saying. And so now you got somebody that's never driven that road going, well, really? I don't think you're accurate in that. I don't think that's true. You know what? I'm going to go a different way because I don't believe you. And that's what our kids do. It's like, hey, listen, child, I've traveled that road. I've done it. But it's different now. No, it's not. Things are different, yeah, but the principles are still the same. And I get it because, you know, at that age, you look at your parents going, yeah, we're going to forge our own path. You know, those quotes like, you know, the path less traveled is the one greater taken, or whatever the quote is. I don't know what it is, but, you know, we don't want to follow the whole herd. And I hear those things. But, you know, sometimes there's wisdom with people that have traveled those roads before. And so coming back and having that faith and knowing in God that he is the beginning and the end and he created every single thing. That's why I say the most important verse in the Bible is Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created. Because if really God created it, then really God knows everything. That therefore, I do have that faith in him. He does know. But listen, a strong faith is a faith that gives forth an excellent testimony. A strong faith is a faith that gives forth an excellent testimony. Why? Because a testimony is a demonstration of your faith. Let's go on a little field trip to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 11. With all that I've said this morning, take into account, keep in the forefront of your mind everything we've talked about as we read through this. What is faith? Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it, the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, though which he attained witnesses that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, that through it, being dead, still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So if you do not have faith, you cannot please God. Verse 7, by faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen. Remember, it hadn't even rained on the earth yet. Moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive an inheritance, and he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he dwelt in a land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which his foundations, whose builder and maker is God. By faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born as many as the stars in the sky, multitude innumerable as the sands which by the seashore. All these died in faith, not having received the promises. Remember the crosses in front of them, but having seen them afar off, can't see the finish line, it's way off in the distance, but were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for as he prepared a city for them. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, in Isaac your seed shall be called, concluding God that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from which he also received him in a figuratively sense. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph and worshiped and leaned on the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when he was dying, made mention of the departure of the children of Israel and gave instruction concerning his bones. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents. So that's an interesting verse because I was reading that. It almost says it's Moses' faith. No, it was Moses' parents' faith at the very beginning there. They had faith, put Moses in the river. Moses didn't put himself there when he was born because they saw he was a beautiful child and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. Now, by faith, when Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures or the passing pleasures of sin. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward. By faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. By faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he who destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith, they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, whereas the Egyptians attempting to do so were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were encircled for 7 days. By faith, the harlot Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe when she had received the spies with peace. And what more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, also David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of a sword, out of weakness were made strong, became vigilant in battle, turning to the flight of the armies, to the aliens, women who received their dead raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. Still others had trials of mockings and scourgings, yes, of chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. They were tempted. They were slain with the sword. They wandered about with sheepskins and goatskins, being desolate, destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in the deserts and the mountains and in dens and the caves of the earth. And all of these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, they did not receive the promise. God having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. What an incredible chapter. But did you notice there was some key commonalities with faith and testimony? And even there towards the end, when we think of, oh, the greatness of Abraham and the greatness of Moses and the greatness of all these acts at the beginning, at the end, it's like the greatness of being sawn in half. Wait a minute, where's the delivery there? The delivery was that they received a greater promise, not the current situation, circumstance. But they were looking forward. What's also interesting in this is we know the story of these guys. The faith of Abraham, who got up and left his country and went to another, did that really happen? No, it didn't happen. He went and he hung out with his father-in-law for a while, waiting for him to die first. What about the faith of Noah? I mean, what about him sometimes when he got off? His faith struggled. What about the faith of Abel? All these guys. The point of this, what about the faith of Sarah? Remember when the promise came? What did Sarah do? She laughed. Here's the cool thing about God. He doesn't remember any of those. And even if you have a lapse in faith, listen, church, it's not how you start, it's how you finish. And I know you're thinking, man, I wish you'd finish, because it's like 15 minutes past our time. But I want you to walk away with this. Faith is what it's all about. And hopefully, we've established how important faith is. The next question is, how do we gain faith? Here's a couple ways. First thing, you can always pray for it, right? The centurion said, I believe, but help my unbelief. Pray for it. But let me tell you, that comes with a cost. It comes, or I should say, with an appointment. If you pray for patience, the way you get patience is God's going to test your patience. If you pray for faith, then God's going to give you an opportunity to exercise your faith. But he won't give you anything you can't handle. Now, right there, that a lot of people are like, well, forget it. I ain't going to do that, right? It's like if I said, hey, do 100 push-ups. No. Nope, I'm good. But if we do one at a time and one at a time, one at a time, I say, guess what you just did? Really? Built your faith. So you can pray for it. But then also you can open your eyes and look at the opportunities that God gives you consistently on a daily basis where you can exercise your faith, saying no to that temptation. I'm going to be like Moses and not give in to the temporary pleasure of this sin and have my eye on the greater riches of the reward of heaven. I'm going to pass so that I can have something better. That takes faith. Praying increases your faith, and also faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. Just as we read through that chapter 11 of Hebrews, hopefully your faith was increased because God is no respecter of persons. And with that said, we will close out today, and hopefully you have something that you can walk out of here and do. Build your faith. Be strong. Pray for your leadership. Have faith in them. Have faith in God. God is the author and finisher of your faith. Allow him to work in your life. Father God, we thank you for your word this morning. We thank you for all the things that you have done past. We thank you for the things present, and we thank you for the things future. And we remember that even though it seems impossible to take another step, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And maybe you're here today and you just feel like you're at wit's end. You feel like you're at your last straw. And hopefully, with an open heart and open ears, you can hear God say, "We got this. One more step. You can do it. I'm with you. I love you. I love you so much that I sent my only begotten Son to have victory. Victory on your behalf." And this morning, as we end, let's just go through that past moment again. 2,000 years ago, when God Almighty stepped out of eternity and walked this earth, put himself upon the cross to take our place. And this morning, as we close out, our faith is in that, and we can reaffirm, maybe for the first time, you can say this prayer, or you can just reflect and be reminded of the greatness of God and say, "Lord, I am a sinner, and I believe that Jesus died on the cross in my place. I give him my sins. I repent of my sins. I ask for forgiveness of my sins. And I believe that Jesus died in my place and was put in the tomb. And on the third day, he rose again. And I receive him as my Lord and my Savior, purchased by his blood. Now a child, now an heir of Almighty God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord."